Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Yud Ches two lines before the Gemara text gets wide. You'll notice toward the end of the line, Tonu Rabbanan. We, in effect, are continuing that which had been introduced at the end of our previous shiur, where mention was made of the descendants of the house of Eli. Eli was the Kohen Gadol at the time of the birth of the prophet Shmuel Hanovi. And as a result of questionable behavior on the part of his sons, so a punishment from heaven was decreed that all their descendants would die young. With that in mind, we continue now in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Mishpocha Achas Hoysa B'Yushalayim, Shoyu Meisel Meisin B'nei Shmoinus Reishona. There was a family that was in Jerusalem, and quite tragically, their members died at age 18. Bo'u V'Hodiyos Rabbon Yochanan Ben Zakkai. They informed Rabbi Yochanan about this phenomenon. Omar Lahem, Shemo Mi'Mishpachas Eli Atem. Maybe you are descendants of that family. Dechtiv Bey, concerning the family of Eli, it says, V'chol marbis beisecho yomusu anoshim. The gist of that pasuk is that those that come forth from your household, from the house of Eli, will die as young people. L'chu v'isku b'toro v'chiu. My suggestion, says Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, is that you should engage in Torah study and thereby elongate your lives. Holchu v'yosku b'toro v'choyu. They in fact adopted his suggestion and studied Torah with greater diligence and prolonged their lives. V'choyu korin oiso, and that family then was referred to as Mishpachas Rabbon Yochanan al Shmo. It was called the Rab Yochanan family in honor of Rab Yochanan Zakkai. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Inyo Mishmei derav. Minayin Ligzar Din Shel Tzibur, skipping the bracketed section for a moment, Afagav Shenechtam Nikra. From where do we know that the verdict handed down regarding a Tzibur, the public, a community, this is all, of course, based on what we learned in our previous shiur, that the verdict handed down on a community through repentance can be torn up. In other words, the verdict of bad can be reversed through tshuva. So the Gemara wants to know, from where do we know that? Before we continue further in the Gemara, we did skip a line, and that's because the text needs to have been redone, as we saw already in our reading. So let's read the Gemara again with the bracketed section. Minayin l'gzar din shel tzibur she'enoy nechtam. From where do we know that the gzar din, the verdict of bad that's rendered concerning the public, is not signed? It's not a signed verdict. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean it's not she'enoy nechtam v'oksiv? What do you mean it's not signed? We saw a pasuk, nechtam avonech lefonai. And the word nechtam with a chof is being interchanged with a ches. Nechtam, technically speaking, is a stain, but the idea is that it's signed. It's a verdict handed down from the heavenly court that's signed, indicating a certain element of finality. So, How can you say that? How can you ask? From where do we know that it's not signed when we see that it is signed? Elo, the question really is afagav shenechtam nikra, that even though it's a signed verdict, it can be torn up. It can be reversed. Shenemar kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov, and the pasuk indicates that there is no one like our Almighty who can be called upon at all times. B'chol koreinu, indicating that at all times, even after a verdict of a punishment of a bad is signed, it can be reversed. The Gemara asks, V'hoksiv dirshu Hashem behi motzo, seek out the Almighty when He is found, indicating not at all times. The Gemara answers, there is a difference. Hasam b'yachid hocha b'tzibur. In the case of a yachid, in the case of an individual, so there's a fixed time that you can call out to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and He will respond, so to speak. As opposed to the community, that's at all times. B'yachid emas, what's the special time for the individual to call out, to seek out, to beseech the Almighty? Omar Rabo Bar Avua Elu Asora Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's a reference to what we call the Aser Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The day of Rosh Hashanah is a day that there is a legal ruling, but the verdict is given on Yom Kippur. So before Yom Kippur, there's a chance to beseech and have the ruling changed. The pasuk that is now going to be quoted from the Gemara is a reference to the story of Naval HaKarmeli, who dealt harshly with David, King David, and eventually, because of his maltreatment of David and his men, so he was stricken and was punished and was killed. In that particular story, David HaMelech himself wanted to kill Naval, but Naval's wife, Abigail, she stopped him. But nevertheless, he was killed min hashamayim. The pasuk in his context says, "Vayhi kaseres hayomim vayigov Hashem es Naval." It was 10 days passed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu he smote Naval. Asora yomim maya vilitai. What's the nature of those 10 days? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. So there are two explanations, and that's why we have numberings. The first explanation is keneged eser legimois shenosan Naval liavde David. Rashi explains this. If we look in the Rashi, you'll see in the upper part of the narrow lines, the fourth narrow line, Keneged Asor Ligimois, Asor Avodim Sholach Loi David Kin Meforish Bekrov, and Aslam Su'udo Achas. David had sent 10 servants to greet Naval, and he provided for them a meal for each one. In the merit of Naval having hosted, this was before Naval sent them away and disregarded David, but at the initial contact, so he had provided for them 10 meals, and in the merit of those 10 meals, he continued to live 10 days. 10 meals, one meal per servant that had visited him. The word legimos, generally speaking, has to do with a drink, but as Rashi says, it's a reference to 10 meals. Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Baravua Elu Asora Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Those 10 days coincided with the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that Kodesh Baruch Hu was waiting for him, for Naval, to repent. But he didn't, and that's why he was killed. We continue now with a quote from the Mishnah that was back on Daf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph. Before we begin this section of Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Deos Shonos, the Hezber B'nei Morom. We'll see several opinions explaining the term B'nei Morom, the Kotoni, that was stated in the Mishnah, the Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boy Oilam, Oivrim Lefanav Kivnei Moram, that all man passes in front of the Almighty as Bnei Moroin. And we want to figure out what is Bnei Moroin. The Gemara. Barosh Hashanah, Kol Boy Oilam, Oivrim Lefanav Kivnei Moram, that all the inhabitants of the world pass in front of the Almighty for judgment as Bnei Moroin. My Kibnei Moroin. What does that term refer to? Hocha Targimu. So here it was explained, Kivnei Amarna. Amarna are sheep. As sheep that are counted in anticipation of Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema is a tithe that one separates from his animal births of that particular year, and they're passed through a narrow passageway, and they're counted individually, 1, 2, 3, and number 10 is then designated to be Meiser Behema. So the imagery here is that people pass one by one in front of the Kodesh Baruch for judgment. Rav Reish Lakish Omar Kemalois Beis Moron. This was a narrow mountainous pathway. On either side of this path, there was a sheer drop, and you could walk on it only in single file. So it's this imagery of individuals passing in single file, one after the other. Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel says, Kechayolois Shel Beis David. Regarding this, Rashi explains, Kechayolos Shel Beis David, Ukebnei Moroin, Kebnei Chayolos Shel Melech, indicates troops of an army. Moroin is a Loshon Morus Ve'adnus, Moroin from Mar, people that are under a master. When they were on their way to battle, so they would be counted one after the other. Again, this imagery of one following the other, a type of, we'll say, individual attention. Omar Rabo Barachanam Rabbi Yochanan V'kulon Niskorin Beskiro Achas. Even though they pass in front of the Almighty, so to speak, in one after the other, in one viewing, in one shot, in one scan, they are all judged. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Af Anan Nami Tanina. That means that the Mishnah, by choosing the pasuk that it cited, which is Hayotzer Yachad Libam Hamevin El Kol Maasehem, by choosing that pasuk, we see that that's the intent of the Mishnah, that they are all judged b'skira achas. The Gemara continues, my ko'omar. Here the Gemara explains what this pasuk means, and through that we'll eventually see the point that was just made, that the Mishnah itself bears out this teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, that they're all niskorin b'skira achas. So, in looking at the pasuk that said Hayotzer Yachad Libon Mai Ko'omar, what is the meaning of the pasuk? He lema hochi ko'omar de baranhu lekule alma umiyachad libayu kehadodi, that he Yotzer is a creator. He created all of them as one in one mold, if you will, that they're all the same. Yachad libayu kehadodi means he unified all of their hearts like one another. In other words, that he created mankind and gave them all the same minds, the same hearts. We see that that's not the case. Everyone is an individual. Everyone thinks differently, feels differently. So that can't be the explanation of the pasuk. Elo lav hochi koma, rather, what the pasuk is saying is hayotzer Roe Yachad Libon. The Yotzer, the creator, not that he created them all together in one mold, but the creator, he sees at one time all of their thoughts, all of their hearts. Umevin El Kol Maaseim, and understands all of their ways. So if we look at the Gemara, Hochi Komar, Hayotzer Roya yachal libam va'akrod leil minei komahader hishgiach el kol yoshvei aretz hayotzer oisam hishgiach yachal es libam. Because right before the pasuk of hayotzer yachal libam, the pasuk says hishgiach el kol yoshvei aretz. Hishgiach means he pays attention. He notices all of the inhabitants of the world. So the noticing of the inhabitants of the world is done by the Creator, who notices them all at once. So that you have this duality of individuals passing in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, emphasizing the significance of the individual, but at the same time the Almighty's power of judgment is done in one glance. Of course, as we've said many times in our Gemara markings Shiurim, we're describing the Almighty but using human terms, because that's basically our limitation. We at the same time understand that to talk about the Almighty is something that is the Almighty himself and his powers is something way beyond human capacity. Therefore, in order to convey messages, we have to work within our limitations and use human terminology to convey a certain message. The Mishnah. And before we learn the Mishnah, let's just glance at the side where we provide a topic heading. Yitzias Shluchim Levaser Akvias Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah will speak about the sending out of emissaries to inform outlying communities when a new month has been established by the court. Just briefly, the new month is a function of the lunar cycle, the new phase of the moon being noted by witnesses who would notice the new crescent, if you will, of the moon appearing in the sky after a period of darkness because of the lunar cycle. They would notice the new crescent, and then they would run to Beis Din, to the court, to the Sanhedrin, and testify that they saw the new phase. And based on that, the Sanhedrin would then rule that this is now the first day of the new month. With that having been done, emissaries would be sent out to outlying communities. They would even travel beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, informing the communities of this having taken place. So, and through that, people would be able to fix their calendars or fix their schedules and understand when holidays would arrive. Al Shisha Chadoshim Hashluchim Yotzim. The sending out of emissaries was done for 6 of the 12 months of the calendar. When we use the term calendar, of course, we do so hesitatingly because we're not talking about a formal printed wall calendar. That's something that came into practice at a later time. After the Sanhedrin was no longer functioning, they had to establish a formal calendar based on calculations that were made for thousands of years ahead of time. And hence we have what we call today's calendar. Over here we're talking about a situation before formal fixed calendars were established, but rather there was constant contact between the Jewish people wherever they were and the high court to know when a month was established. So over concerning 6 months, the emissaries were sent out. Al Nisan, Mitnei HaPesach, when Nisan would be declared, the emissaries would be sent out so that people in faraway places would know when to observe Pesach. Pesach being the 15th of Nisan. Al Av, they would be sent out at the beginning of the month of Av, Mipnei HaTainis. Tainis is a reference to the fast day of Tisha B'Av. Al Elul, Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. They would be sent out at the beginning of Elul, so that people would know when to observe Rosh Hashanah. V'Al Tishrei, Mipnei Takonas HaMa'odos. And they would be sent out upon the declaration of Tishrei in order to establish when the holidays of Tishrei would be observed, namely Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Al Kislev mitnei Hanukkah. They would be sent out at when Kislev was declared, so that people would know when to celebrate Hanukkah. V'al Ador mitnei Hapurim. Ukshahoya Beis Hamikdash Kayom Yoitzin Af Al Iyor mitnei Pesach Korban. When the Beis Hamikdash was around, so this Mishnah reflects a time period that they, up till this line, the time period after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, there would be need for having emissaries communicating the establishment of the month of Iyar, so that those who did not do the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar, on the 14th of Nisan, because if they were Tomei or they were far away from Yerushalayim, they now have their makeup date, the 14th of Iyar. That's called Pesach Kotan. The Gemara asks, V'lifku Nami Atamus Viteves. Just note that this is a long question that continues down a number of lines down from the top of Omid Beis. Why not have emissaries sent out to announce the establishment of the month of Tammuz and the month of Teves? The Omar Rav Chono Bar Bizna Omar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. We're at the top of Omid Beis. My dichtiv, a posuk is quoted. Now this posuk itself is a couple lines of Gemara, and the posuk describes four fast days of fasting, and it says Komar Hashem Tzivokis Tzoyim Horavi. Ravi means the fourth month. That's Tammuz. Vitzoma Hamishi, that's the fifth month. That's the month of Av. Tzom Horavi is familiar to us as the 17th of Tammuz, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. The fifth month fast of Av is very well known. It's Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. V'tzom HaShvi'i, the fast of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei. That happens to be the fast of what we call Tzom Gedalia, the third day of Tishrei. Tzom Gedalia. V'tzom Ahuasiri, the what's known as Asura B'Teves. Asura is the 10th month, the month of Teves. So those fast days, yeah, lebeis yuda lesosum lesimcha, they will be days of rejoicing. Kori luhu tzom v'kori luhu sosum v'simcha. They refer to in almost opposite terms. One is fast days, and the same days referred to as days of festivity. Bizman shiye shalom yu lesosum lesimcha. When there is shalom, Rashi says, "Shein yad ho'ivdei kuchavim tekif al Yisrael." A period of time that that foreign rule is not ruling over the Jewish people, when they're not under foreign rule. So when that is the case, so these dates that are referred to by the Novi Zechariah, those dates are to be celebrated as festive days, as holidays. Ein Shalom, if we are under the control of the Oivdei Kochavim, the idol worshippers, then they are not festive days, they're to be observed as fast days. Well, what do we see from this? We see that Tammuz and Teves are referred to by this Pasuk. Now, as far as Av, we already said that Shluchim are sent out, and as far as the Tzom of the Shvi, the month of Tishrei, they were already accounted for by messengers being sent out. But what about the Revi, which is Tammuz, and the Asir, which is Teves? There are fast days there as well. Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa explains Hachi Ka'omar. The idea of the months or these dates changing in character is to be explained as follows. Bizman Shiye Shalom, when there is this situation that we call Shalom, which we defined before, Yu L'Sosonu L'Simcha, then they are festive days. Yesh Gezeiros HaMalchus, if we are under evil decrees of the idol worshippers, then tzom, then they are observed as fast days. Ein gezeiros malchus, the ein shalom, if you're in a situation where there aren't evil decrees. However, the Jewish people are still experiencing non-shalom, they're still under the rule, the control, under the power of foreign governments, of idol worshippers, then Ratsu Misanin, Ratsu Ein Misanin. Then it becomes optional. If they want to fast, they can fast. If they don't, they're not in violation of anything. And since those dates, in that situation of there's no Gzeres Malchus and there's no Shalom, so since the fasting is merely optional, we don't trouble the emissaries to travel on those, regarding those months. Well, Ihachi Tisha B'Av Nami. If that's the way we're looking at things, so then shouldn't the same measure be accorded to Tisha B'Av? And why have emissaries sent out in anticipation of the month of Av? After all, Tisha B'Av is mentioned in the very same pasuk. That's called the Tzom HaChamishi. The Chamishi is Av, the fifth month. When you start your month counting from Nisan, it's Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So why does the Mishnah account for emissaries sent out for the month of Av? Amar Rav Papa, Shiny Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is different. It's different in its severity than the other fast days. Hayol v'huchbulu boi tzoro. Since there were numerous tragedies that befell the Jewish people on Tisha B'Av. The Amar Mar, this is a Mishnah from Maseches Tainis. B'Tisha B'Av, Chorav Habayis Borishon Bashnia. On the month, the ninth of Av, the two holy temples, the first one, the first Beis HaMikdash, and the second Beis HaMikdash, were destroyed. V'nilkida Beitar, and the city, the Torah city of Beitar, was captured. V'nechru Shair, and Jerusalem was plowed under years later. All these took place on the ninth of Av. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon. Arba dvarim hoya Rabbi Akiva doresh ve'ein ani doresh kamos. We have a continuation in a sense of the previous topic dealing with the dating of the fast days, but we have a Tanaic source. You'll notice that this is a rather long Tanaic source, which takes you down to halfway into the wide line section of the Gemara, where Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Akiva in identifying the what's called the Tzom Ho'asiri. Up till now, we made reference of Asar B'Teves, the 10th of Teves. However, we will see a machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva on this point. The source begins, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Arba Dvorim, Hoya Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Ve'ani Ein Doresh Kemoso. There were four things that Rabbi Akiva taught, and I don't teach accordingly. I don't follow his approach, and this is one of them, the issue of the fasts. This source doesn't reveal all four points, just the one of them. Rashi alludes to the others. So what's the issue? Tzom Horvi ze Tisha B'Tamuz. That's the ninth of Tamuz, Sheboi Huvke Ho'ir. Shenemar, that was the date that the walls of Jerusalem were broken open. Shenemar B'Chodesh Horvi B'Tisha L'Chodesh V'Chazek Horov Bo'ir. Pasuk describes the fourth month, which is Tamuz. On the ninth, the famine was great. V'lohoya lechem lam ha'oretz. There was no food available, no bread available. V'tivka ir, and the walls were broken open. V'mai kori le ravi'i. What is the significance of the word ravi'i? When it says b'chodesh ravi'i l'chodoshim. The fourth of the months when you use Nisan as your starting point. Tzom ha'chamishi ze tisha be'ov. Sheboi Nisraf Beis Elokeinu. That's the ninth of Av, the date commemorating the burning of the Beis Hamikdash. V'amai Kori Le Chamishi. What does the pasuk mean when it says the Chamishi? The pasuk said Tzom HaChamishi. What does it mean? Does it mean it's the fifth fast? No. It means Chamishi LaChodoshim, the fifth of the months, which is the month of Av, when, of course, you're starting from Nisan. Tzom Hashvi'i Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei. The Tzom of the seventh month, the fast of the seventh month, is on the third of that month, the third of Tishrei. Shebo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam. When this individual, it was a tzaddik, he was appointed to be the leader of the remnant of the Jewish community after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he was murdered on the third of Tishrei. Umi Hargo, and who killed him? Yishmael ben Nesanya Hargoi. This gentleman, Yishmael ben Nesanya, killed him. Lelamdecha, and the fact that we establish a fast on that day when this individual was murdered, it shows us Sheshkula Misosin Shel Tzadikim Kistreifas Beis Elokeinu, that the death of the righteous is equal to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Very, very powerful comment, something to internalize as much as possible. V'amai Kori Le Shvi, why is it referred to as the fast of the seventh? Shvi'i L'chadoshim, it's the seventh month. Tishrei is the seventh month, once again, when you start your counting of months from Nisan. Tzom Ha'asiri, Zeh Asorah B'Teves. The fast of the 10th is a reference to the 10th of Teves, Sheboi Somach Melech Bovel Al Yerushalayim. On that date, Nebuchadnezzar started his siege on Jerusalem. It's worth noting that this is the last of the fast days cited in the order of the Pasuk. However, chronologically speaking, it was the first tragic event in this series of events. It was the laying of siege. It was after the laying of siege, then there was the breaking in of the walls of Jerusalem, which was then followed by the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, which was then followed by the death of Gedaliah. So we said that Tzom HaAsir is a reference to the tenth month. The Gemara will—that's the tenth month, meaning Teves. And on the tenth day of that month, the siege on Jerusalem started by the king of Bovel. Shinemar vayi devar Hashem elai b'shono hatshias b'chodesh HaAsiri be'asor l'chodesh lemar. The Novi Yecheskel is telling that he had received this information on the ninth year, on the tenth month, on the tenth day, and the message said, Ben Adam, Ksav Lecha Es Shem Hayom Es Etzem Hayom Hazeh Samach Melech Bovel El Yerushalayim. Note this day, this date, 10th of Teves, the day that the siege on Jerusalem started. V'amai Kori Le'asiri, why is this referred to as the 10th? Asiri L'chodoshim, it's the 10th month. V'halo hoyoroi zeh lichtoiv rishon. In the Pasuk of Zechariah Perek Ches that we cited at the top of the page, this was fit to have been written first. V'loma nichtav kan, why is this, the 10th of Teves, the fast of the 10th month, why is it written over here the last of the fasts in the list? Kedei lahastir chodoshim ketikon. In order for the months to appear in their order. In other words, the approach that Rabbi Akiva takes is one that we're not, the Pasuk, the Novi, isn't interested in presenting history in a chronological order, but rather in presenting the months in the order that they occur, one after the other. Meaning, you start with Nisan, that's the first month, so in the terms of the listing of the fasts, we list the fast on Tammuz, then the fast of Av, followed by Tishrei, concluding with the fast of Teves, even though that does not reflect a chronological accuracy. Vani eini omer kein, I, Rabbi Shimon, don't agree. Now, on the side of the Gemara, you might notice Roman numerals 1 and 2. A few lines up, it was a 1. The positioning of this is simply where to highlight at what point the disagreement takes place. So you see that Rabbi Shimon disagrees regarding the Tzom HaAsiri, Elo Tzom HaAsiri Zeh Chamisha B'Teves. not the 10th of Teves, but the 5th of Teves. Sheboi bo shmua legoilo shehuksir. On the 5th of Teves, the exiles in Bovel, which Rashi refers to as the Golos Yechonia, this was an exile that took place 11 years before the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, that community, the community of Jews in Bovel, on the 5th of Teves received the news of the destruction. Shenemar, so now, but maybe before we go further, we're talking about an event that took place after the destruction. So if the destruction took place in the month of Av, it took a few months for the information to get there, and they received the news of the destruction on the 5th of Teves. So chronologically speaking, the reference to the fast of the 10th month of the fast of the month of Teves chronologically was after the events mentioned in the Pasuk prior to this. Shinemar vayhi b'shtei esrei shana ba'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh, and it was in the 12th year of the king's realm, in the 12th year, on the 10th, means a reference to 10th month, b'chamisha l'chodesh, the 5th of day 5 of the 10th month, l'golosenu, it's the 12th year of our exile. Bo Eli HaPolit Mirushalayim, Lamar, the refugee from Jerusalem, came and said, Huksa Ho'ir, the city has been destroyed. The Osu Yoim Shmua Kiyom Srefon, the date of the bearing of the news was treated as the day of the actual destruction. In other words, it too was observed as a fast day. V'nirin devorai midvorov, says Reb Shimon, that my approach seems more likely than Rabbi Kiva's approach. Shani oimer al rishon rishon val achron achron. I said that the order of the pasuk, the thing that appears first in the pasuk, reflects the earlier of the events. And that which appears later in the pasuk is a reflection of things that took place later in the order of the events. The Hu Omer, a reference to Rabbi Akiva, Al Rishon Achron. The Rishon is a reference to the siege laid on the city. That is recorded as the Chodesh Asiri. That's the last thing in the pasuk. So we'll say that which chronologically took place Rishon early, the siege on the city, is reported late in the pasuk. That was the Chodesh Asiri, which is at the end of the pasuk. V'al Acharon, the breaking of the walls of the city, Rishon is mentioned as the first thing in the pasuk, as the Chodesh Horavi, the fast of the fourth. So you have that which took place, relatively speaking, later is mentioned earlier in the pasuk, and that which took place earlier is mentioned at the end of the pasuk. Ela shehu moina l'seder chadashim. Rabbi Akiva is interested only in maintaining an order of the months, claiming that the pasuk is not interested in chronological order. Vani oimer l'seder puronios, and I say, says Reb Shimon, that the order of the pasuk is not only interested in the order of the months, but also in maintaining a chronological order of events. So that my approach maintains both order of the months and follows the pasuk is reporting events in a chronologically accurate order. As we go on in the Gemara, we note a topic heading, and we also note that this is a long, but it goes till Daf Yud Tesomit Beis, and we've written on the side, Megillas Tainis, Bizman Hazeh, Achar HaChorban, Haim Botla. Megillas Tainis is a very early, we'll call it a Tanaic work, if you will. It's an early piece of maybe Tanaic work is not an accurate way of presenting it, but it's a very early document of we'll call the realm of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not a holy scroll as we would say Megillas Esther is, but it's nevertheless referred to as Megillas Tainis. Now, what is it? It's a list of dates and events that took place on those dates, and the Megillas Tainis lists dates that were of a, we'll say, a festive nature. And the term Tainis might be an irony. Tainis means fasting. But it, in effect, is a list of dates with the festive events which, as a result, we say you cannot fast on those dates. Later in the discussion of the Gemara, we'll see that the dates recorded in Megillas Tainis can also have an effect on the day preceding the given date and the day following that given date. And when we speak about festive nature of these days, that manifests itself in prohibitions of fasting or prohibitions of eulogizing, not to be maspid, not to be misane. There are details that are forthcoming in this Gemara, and also these are discussed in other Gemaras as well. The question now is, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, are the rules concerning those dates, are they botel? Although we can simply say, is Megillas Tainis botel? In other words, we have dates that are recorded as festive occasions, different miracles having taken place, but now that there's no more Beis HaMikdash, maybe one is allowed to fast on those days. And that would be, if you say that, that's basically saying botla Megillas Tainis. If you say lo botla Megillas Tainis, it means that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, we nevertheless observe those days as festive days and would not fast on those days. So that is the question. Is it botel? We're going to notice in the Gemara the use of triangles that will start a few lines after the opening section here, and they represent a ma'akav. The triangles will continue till Yud Tes Amud Beis. They represent a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of questions and answers, and we will be raising questions on the opinion, and we didn't tell you this, but the issue of Botlam against Tainis is a machloikis. It's a controversy, and we'll be raising questions on the opinion that says Botla, that it's no longer binding, and the inverted triangles represent responses. In the context of the Dafyomi Shir, which means one daf per shir, so we're not going to, obviously, we're not going to be able to complete this sugya. We're going to end up leaving off in the middle of a discussion. So I hope that this introduction will serve also as the introduction for our next shiur, which, Amir Tzashem, when we get to that, we'll be picking up in the middle of this discussion, relying on this introduction. So now, all that having been said, we look at the Gemara Itmar. Rav v'Rabbi Chanina Amri, they both say, Botlo Megillas Tainis, that nowadays there's no Beis HaMikdash. The festive days that were established by the Chachamim because of the various miracles that are recorded and banned people from fasting on those days, and some of them even no eulogizing. All of that is botel now that there's no Beis HaMikdash and you're allowed to eulogize and fast on those dates. In the course of the Gemara, we're going to see a couple of those dates revealed, but there was a long list of dates all contained in this work called Megillas Tainis. So Rav and Rabbi Chanina say, in all due respect to those dates, once upon a time they were festive occasions. Nowadays, if you want to declare a fast on them or you want to eulogize them, you are allowed to do that. There's no more any Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amri, they say lo botla Megillas Tainis. It is not voided. Rav Rabbi Chanina, we go over this now. Amri botla Megillas Tainis. Hochi ko'omar. And it is this that Yecheskel the prophet was saying. And this is a reference to the pasuk that we had at the top of this Omer of Gemara. And he was saying as follows. Bizman shiyesh shalom, yu l'sason u'l'simcha. When there is shalom, so then they are observed as festive occasions. Ein shalom tzoim. That even though in the time of the Beis HaMikdash they were referred to as festive occasions, when there is no shalom, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so they are tzom. You can fast on them. V'hanoch nami ki hani. And that means that the dates in Megillas Tainis are like the dates recorded in the prophet, in Zechariah, which is part of the holy literature. So just like those dates in the Novi, which were at the time of the Beis HaMikdash festive, and after the destruction subject to fasting, so too all the dates listed in Megillas Tainis. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amri, lo bot la Megillas Tainis. That the list of festive occasions recorded in Megillas Tainis are not void. Hani hu detalinu rachmona bebinyan beis hamikdash. The dates recorded in the prophet, in the pasuk in Zechariah, are dates that are inextricably related to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi points out, "Tetalinu b'binyan de'al yedei ha'churban hukbu'u l'tzom, v'yedei ha'binyan hukbu'u l'yom tov." That through this destruction, they were declared as fast days. As a result of the rebuilding, the second Beis HaMikdash, because Zechariah is a reflection of events that took place after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Upon the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is a time that Zechariah also lived through that, it was declared as festive days. And Rashi goes on quoting Psukim that indicate that. But those 4 days are not related to Megillas Tainis. Those 4 days are Beis HaMikdash related dates. Avol, the Gemara continues, Avol Hanoch, Kaimi, the dates that are recorded in Megillas Tainis as festive days remain as such, and you cannot fast and not eulogize on those dates. And as we introduced earlier, the markings indicate a give and take in the Gemara. Triangle facing up, point facing up are going to be questions. We're going to be raising questions on the Manda Omar that says that Megillas Tainis is Botel. In other words, questions focused on Rav and Rabbi Chanina. Mosiv Rav Kahana. Maisev v'gozru Tainis b'chanukah b'lud was an incident that they ruled that there shall be a fasting on Chanukah in the city of Lud. V'yorad Reb Elozer v'rochatz Reb Yeshua v'siper. These two great Tanoim went and did things that one is not ordinarily allowed to do on a declared fast day. What did they do? Reb Elozer went and bathed, and Reb Yeshua went and took a haircut. V'omru lahem, and Reb Elozer Reb Yeshua told the community of Lud, Su v'is'anu al ma she'esanesem. You now have to do penitence. You've got to fast and do tshuva for that which you did, that you fasted on Chanukah. Now Chanukah, we should have mentioned, is mentioned in the Megillas Tainis. So it's part of Megillas Tainis. And we see from this story that the Chanukah, i.e. Megillas Tainis, needs to be observed. Not Botel. Omar Rabbi Yosef, and we're calling this Aleph, there are two stages in Rabbi Yosef's presentation. Rabbi Yosef Shaini, Chanukah de'ika mitzvah. Chanukah is different. You know why you're not allowed to fast? Because there's the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles. And therefore, Chanukah alone is not Botel. Omar Le Abaye says to Rav Yosef, is that your explanation? He says, V'ti Botel Ihi, V'ti Botel Mitzvasa. If it's in fact if it's batel, so the holiday is batel and the mitzvah that's part of the holiday is batel. Like, what do you mean the Hanukkah is different because it has a mitzvah? Why isn't the mitzvah also void? Elo Omer Rav Yosef, Shiny Hanukkah. Hanukkah is different. The mefarsem nisa. She says across from here, the mefarsem nisa kvar hu golui l'chol Yisrael. It's so well known to all Jews, al yedei shenoagu bo hamitzvahs, through the observance of the mitzvahs, v'hechziku bo kishel Torah v'lo noch levatan, because they observed it so adheringly, it's become so ingrained and part of the tradition that it's almost like something from the Torah itself, and it's therefore not fit to void it, to cancel it, and allow fasting. But all the rest of Megillah's Tainus could very well be batel, just like Rav and Rav Hanina suggested. Mosiv Rav Acha Bar Huna. Well, he raises an objection, and this is a quote from Megillah's Tainus. That's why we have this in a frame. Betlosa Betishrei, on the third of Tishrei, Betelas Adkarto Mishtaraya. The recording of the Almighty's name in documents was canceled. Now, that's a festive occasion. It might raise eyebrows. What do you mean? That no longer in documents we're no longer going to make reference to the Almighty? And, well, that's in fact what this is. A celebration of the date where there was no longer going to be the recording of the Almighty in documents. Now, the background. Shegozra Malchus Yavon Gzera, the Greek Empire, had issued an edict, Shelo Lahaskir Shem Shomayim Al Pihem, that no mention should be made of the Almighty. Ukshegovra Malchus Chashmonai V'Nitzchum, and when the Hasmonean kingdom overpowered the Greeks, the Chashmonaim, of course, of Hanukkah fame, and defeated the Yevonim, the Greeks, Hiskinu Shiumazkirin Shem Shemayim Afilu Bishtoros. They, as a countermeasure, established that the Almighty's name or reference to the Almighty is to be recorded even in common documents. V'kach hoyu kaisven, and thusly they would write, B'shnas kach v'kach liyoichanon koin godol l'keil el yoin. That's what they would record, and they would record dating the documents from the year of using as a starting point the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yochanan the high priest, and they would note he was a Kohen Gadol l'keil el yon, a servant. He served as a priest to the Almighty, and that was all recorded in the text of common documents, loans, contracts. Ukshishamu chachomim b'dover amru, when the chachomim heard about this, they said, L'mocher ze poreas chovo, well, the next day so-and-so is going to pay up his debt, and the document that was used to collect the debt will then be thrown out. V'nimtza shtar muto b'ashpa, then that document will be thrown into the garbage, and along with that will be a document containing a reference to the Almighty. Ubitlum, and the Chachomim canceled that practice. And this cancellation of practice was a defense of the glory, of the honor of the Almighty, so that the cancellation of the recording of the Shem Shemayim in Shtaros was a positive thing. The Oysa Hayom Asu Yom Tov, and that day they declared as a holiday. That happened to be the third of Tishrei. The Rashi says, this is so interesting, but Rashi's second line from the bottom, he says, "Butlum huchshur hadover beinayim v'nechshav lem l'neis v'asu yom tov." In my opinion, there's a very, very deep insight here, and that when the public gets into the habit of doing something, in this case, they got so deeply entrenched in this practice of writing the name of Hashem in common documents, and you see there was a downside to it, But like to undo the common practice, the common behavior of people is practically miraculous. So the ability to change the common practice was viewed as quasi-miraculous and hence worthy of a holiday. Now, having read this, we continue. If it's so that Megillas Tainus is no longer binding, well, Kamaisa Botel Achranaisa Mosifin, the earlier dates were canceled, and we're now adding new dates. That doesn't make sense. If the original dates are canceled, why would we be establishing new holidays? The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this event of establishing the third of Tishrei as a holiday was bizman shebeis hamigdash kaim. That was at a time the Beis Hamigdash was still around. So of course when the Beis Hamigdash is still around, so the list of holidays existed, and you could add to that list the discussion of whether Botel or not is talking about a time after the destruction of the Beis Hamigdash. As we said earlier, the discussion continues, and we find ourselves in the middle of the discussion. So we continue a little bit further on to Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and see if we can choose a semi-convenient pausing point. But the Gemara asks here, once we mentioned that the third of Tishrei was a day declared as a holiday in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, why do you have to establish the third of Tishrei as a new holiday? We're at the top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and if it's talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash, V'tepukle Tahavi Le'yoyim Shinerag Boi Gedalia Ben Achikam. Now, we have to just remind ourselves that the dates that were recorded in the Novi Zechariah, which is what we're referring to right now, were dates that when the Beis Hamikdash was around are festive days. And now you just said that this third of Tishrei holiday concerning Shtoros was a source during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Well, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was already a holiday. It was what we call before the Tzom HaShvi'i, which the prophet said that when the Beis Hamikdash is around, is a festive day. So the third of Tishrei is already a festive day. It's a little ironic in the Gemara because it's referred to as the day that Gedaliah was killed. Okay, that was a tragedy in and of itself, but when the second Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt, that was a holiday. So why is there a need to declare the third of Tishrei during the time of the Beis Hamikdash a holiday when it already was a holiday? Omar Rav Loi Nitzrecha Elo Lesor Es Shelefonov. By declaring the third of Tishrei a holiday, we also ban the second of Tishrei. Lefonov means before, the day before the third, the second of Tishrei, as being also a day of forbidden in fasting. The Gemara asks, that's your whole purpose in declaring the third of Tishrei in order to take in the second? Shelefon of Nami. Tepuk le dahavi le yoyim shelacha Rosh Chodesh. The second of Tishrei is the day after Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is a holiday. It's a Torah level holiday, in fact. So, as such, the day, the second of Tishrei, is the day after a holiday. That should be enough to have it restricted in fasting anyway. So once again, why am I declaring the third of Tishrei a new holiday? The Gemara answers, Rosh Chodesh d'Oraisa. The fact that the second of Tishrei follows Rosh Chodesh isn't going to impart upon the second of Tishrei a festive nature, because Rosh Chodesh, and again this might sound ironic, but it's Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa. It's a Torah level holiday, if you will. Udoraisa loboi chizuk, because it has the significance of being in the Torah, it doesn't need any further strengthening by including days before and after to show the significance of the central day. It can stand on its own, literally, on its own, by itself. The Sanya, and this distinction is brought out in the following source, Hayomim Ho'ele Haksuva Megillas Tainis, the days that are recorded in this, called this rabbinic work, known as Megillas Tainis, this list of holidays, Asurin Bein Lithnei Bein Lachram. They are forbidden in fasting before and after as well. Shabbosus V'yomim Toivim, Shabbos and Yom Tov holidays that are in the Torah, Heim Asurim Lifneim, they are forbidden in fasting on the day before, Ulachrehen Mutorin. However, and we dashed on Lachrehen because this is really the focus of our discussion, the days after them, like Beis Tishrei, for example, the day after Rosh Chodesh, they are Mutorin. They are days in which you are allowed to fast. Ma'efrish Bein Zeles, what's the difference between the Megillas Tainis and the Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim? Halolu Divrei Torah. Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim are Torah level observances. V'ein Divrei Torah Tzrichim Chizuk. And Torah level dates don't need strengthening through adding an additional day the following day also as being restricted in fasting. Halalu divrei sofrim, the dates recorded in Megillas Tainis are rabbinic in nature, and hence they're weaker, and that which is weaker needs additional support. The divrei sofrim tzrichim chizuk, that which is rabbinic needs strengthening, and we accomplish that by asering the day after as well. So when it comes to rabbinic dates, we know that the day before and the day after are also forbidden in fasting, in addition to the central holiday itself, the rabbinic holiday, as recorded in the Megillas Tainis. The Gemara asks, so once again, why did we establish the third of Tishrei as a holiday? So as to be able to include the second of Tishrei also as being quasi-festive, and hence forbidden in fasting. But once again, we ask, the second of Tishrei is the eve of a day that's already a holiday. It's that the holiday of the called the Yom Shinerag Bo Gedal Ben Achikam. Again, ironically, but during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, that was a festive day. So there's no need to establish the third of Tishrei as an additional holiday when Yom Shinerag Bo Gedal Ben Achikam is the third of Tishrei, and that will take in the second of Tishrei. Omar Rav Ashi, Gedalia Ben Achikam Divrei Kabbalahu. That holiday that we call the Gedalia Day, it's known commonly as Tzom Gedalia, but in the time of the Beis Hamikdash it was festive, is Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means it's from the Nevi'im, from the prophets. The Divrei Kabbalah Kedivrei Torah Domu. The fact that it's recorded in holy scriptures, in the prophets, it has the status of, with regard to this halacha, not regarding all halachas, but with regard to this discussion, it has the status of something that's Divrei Torah. And we said before that Divrei Torah einon tzrichim chizuk. So if your goal is to include the second of Tishrei, you're not going to be able to accomplish that by noting that it's the day before Gedalia Day. Just as we said before, you're not going to accomplish that by noting that it's the day after Rosh Chodesh. The only way to envelop, to include the second of Tishrei is by declaring the third of Tishrei a rabbinic holiday, the document day. As we pointed out earlier in the context of the Daf Yomi, we've already spilled over a bit. So we'll pause here, but recognizing that we're in the middle of a discussion, the discussion concerning is Megillas Tainis Bokla or not. The next question you can see is a very long question. It takes us clear down to the, not only down, but it takes us to the top of the next Omid.
So before we conclude, let's just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.